Today on The King is Coming.
Well, listen, the name of our program is The King is Coming because we believe the King is coming. And we know he's coming because Jesus authenticated his second coming by rising from the dead. How will Antichrist persuade the whole world to buy into his message? You're about to find out on The King is Coming.
Join Jeff Kinley in our newest series, where ancient questions meet brand new insights. Questions like, how can Christ be both God and man? Why is there so much pain in the world if it was created by an all-loving God? Ready for a journey that challenges everything you think you knew about faith? Let's dive in together. For any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming, ask for your copy of our amazing 7-part DVD set, Uncovering the Mysteries of God. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
I'm very excited to tell you about a brand new book I've written called God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Final Days. This book is so exciting because I basically take you through the entire book of Revelation, but from a slightly different perspective. What we discover is that the book of Revelation was not just written to tell us what's going to happen in the end times, but God wrote his last ever book to tell us about himself. And so Revelation becomes not just a book about the future, but a book to help you encounter God. And I go through it and highlight 13 amazing attributes of God that really rise out of the book of Revelation that help us become more intimate in our relationship with him.
For any gift of $20 or more to World Prophetic Ministry, you will get your copy of Jeff's newest book, God's Grand Finale. You will be inspired and challenged as you learn about God's wrath, grace, and glory. To get your copy today, visit thekingiscoming.com or call 1-800-622-2767.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. We're in a 7-part series on Antichrist, the coming Prince of Darkness. And we're gathering all the information that we have as to what the Bible says about who is this person? When's he coming? What's he going to be like? What's his government going to be like? What's this whole Mark of the Beast thing? We're covering all this in this incredible, intriguing series. So you don't want to miss a single episode. We're talking about today the message of Antichrist. What will be his initial message on the global scene? What's going to be his campaign slogan? What's going to be his platform message? Well, Scripture gives us some clues here. We read about in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, keep in mind that Revelation 6 is what inaugurates the 7-year tribulation period. Some people think that the tribulation begins with the rapture, but it actually begins here in chapter 6. It begins with the signing of a peace treaty that Antichrist has with Israel. Now, notice in chapter 6, verse 1, this is the very first clue that we get. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the 7 seals." So here is a strong indicator that the tribulation or the judgments of God begin at the beginning of the 7-year period, not at the midpoint of the 7-year period. And so when we talk about a pre-tribulational rapture, we mean before Revelation chapter 6. But notice the first thing that happens, the very first judgment, is that God unleashes on the world Antichrist. It says in verse 2, it says, "And I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Now, we notice a couple of things about this passage. First of all, it says that this rider on the white horse, it says that he has a bow, but it doesn't mention any arrows. And we know later in this verse that it says he goes out conquering and to conquer. So somehow with this bow, he is able to conquer the nations, to bring a sense of stability, to be able to rule over the nations. How does he do that? Well, he does it peacefully. It says in verse two, it says, "And a crown was given to him." And the idea of a crown is the idea of he is in a position of great authority, and it's been given to him. And I believe Satan is the one who gives him this crown. If you'll remember back in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, he said to Jesus, he said, "Worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Because then he says, because they're mine to give. And Jesus did not dispute the claim that Satan had authority over the kingdoms of the world. So Satan is going to give Antichrist the kingdoms of the world, but he's going to come on the scene with a message of peace. In fact, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read this. It says in verse 3, it says, and while they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. So here's the context here. We talked about in the last episode that the seventh sign concerning the timing of Antichrist's coming is the rapture of the church. Well, following this, there's going to be great chaos. There's going to be a great global crisis that's going to ensue as a result of hundreds of millions of people suddenly being snatched away from planet Earth. It's going to decimate everything. It's going to gut economies. There's going to be mass hysteria and panic. Militaries are going to be decimated. Countries are going to implode. There's going to be the stock market's going to crash. So mortgages will go unpaid. All sorts of things are going to happen during this time after the rapture. And so Satan, through Antichrist, is going to come on the scene and he's going to bring calm. He's going to bring peace. He's going to bring safety. He's going to tell us, if you just do what I tell you to do, everything will be okay. And guess what? When people are afraid, they will gladly give up their freedoms in exchange for security. I want to say that again. When people are afraid, they will gladly give up their freedoms in exchange for security. And Antichrist, because of his position of authority and power, is going to be able to give them that sense of peace and authority. So that's his initial message there, is one of peace. And of course, we know from Daniel 9:27, that Antichrist, it says that he will make a covenant with the many, or with Israel, for 1 week. It'll be a 7-year covenant. And the Bible tells us that this covenant is essentially what starts the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period there, that we read about in Revelation 6 through 19. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. That's a time of great distress. In fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation 3:10 that this is going to be a test upon the whole world. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, around verse 15, that there's never been a time like this time, especially the second half of the tribulation, which Jesus called the great tribulation. So Satan's initial message through Antichrist is going to be one of peace. It's going to be one of safety. But guess what we know? It's a grand global deception. It's a trick. It's a ruse. It's a sleight of hand. So what do you mean by that? Well, it's a way for Satan to essentially deceive the entire planet. I've been to some of these magic shows where a magician will get on stage, or an illusionist will get on stage. And I remember being at one time where he got up on stage and there was a helicopter behind him. And I thought, well, I know what he's going to try to do. He's going to make that helicopter disappear. Well, sure enough, a curtain comes down. He claps his hand. The curtain comes up and the helicopter is gone. Now, I don't know how he did that, but here's what I know for sure. He didn't make it disappear. He just simply made it go away somehow. The helicopter was still in existence somewhere, but he somehow, through sleight of hand, through trickery, through distortion, through distraction, somehow he made it disappear. Well, that's what Satan's going to do through Antichrist. He's going to trick humanity into believing him. Now, how does Satan do that? What are his methods as to how he actually performs this end times deception? And by the way, 2 Thessalonians tells us he's going to do that over in chapter 2. And verse 10, it says, and with all the deception of wickedness. So what are his ways that he does that in the tribulation period? And what are some ways he does that today in our lives? Let me give you 4 ways I believe that Satan is working. It's just part of Satan's end time strategy, if you will. Here's the first thing that he does. He darkens people's minds, darkens their minds. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, one way is when the church is taken away. As we saw last time, the restraining influence of the church, by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us and is holding back evil in the world before it gets really, really bad, like the days of Noah, when that is taken away, guess what's also taken away? The light. So there's no light. There's no truth and there's no light. And when the light is taken away, what do you have? You have darkness, right? And so there's going to be darkness, spiritually speaking, morally speaking, upon the whole world during this time. And so he darkens minds. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 is a great verse regarding this, because it tells us exactly how Satan works in the world and how he's going to work in the last days. It says in verse 3, it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, okay, behind a curtain, it is veiled to those who are currently perishing." So Satan puts a veil over people's eyes to keep them from seeing. And if they can't see or hear the gospel, then they can't believe the gospel. So Satan will darken people's minds to keep them. They have, have sort of an inner shield in their mind and heart to keep them from believing the gospel. And he says in verse 4 here, it says, "In whose case," the case of these people who are perishing, it says, "the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So here's the thing. Satan is called the God of this world. And we know from Luke chapter 4, the passage we just talked about, he's in control of the nations. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. In other words, he's ruling among the sons of disobedience, the Bible says. He's ruling the airways. Satan is the one who is primarily in charge of the global narrative on this planet. He has demons, his demonic angels in places of high political authority all over the planet, and also in the media as well. And this is why so much of our culture is so godless. But it says here he's the God of the of this present world. So he's in charge. Jesus called him several times in John 12 and other places in the Gospels. Jesus said he's the ruler of this world. In other words, he's in charge of the current world that he's in. Now, how does this play itself out in terms of darkening people's minds? I'll talk about that more after we take this quick break. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So when Satan darkens the minds of people, he essentially turns the lights down. He prevents the light of the gospel from making it to people's hearts. Now, sometimes, obviously, our own heart works in concert, works in harmony and partnership with Satan. But certainly the Bible says that Satan darkens the minds of people. And that's what he's going to do in the last days through Antichrist. He's going to continue to keep them from seeing the light as much as he possibly can. That is a satanic strategy that he's using both now and he will use in the last day. So remember, his initial message begins with peace, but it also comes with a certain darkening of the heart as well. The second strategy that Satan has is that he distracts people. Now, he doesn't just prevent them from seeing, but he distracts them away from the gospel and the truth. You know why? Because he wants his message to be the primary message that they hear. It's like this. It's like if Satan were buying Super Bowl ads, he'd buy up all the commercials so that all the commercials would be on his product alone and nobody else would be distracted to see anybody else's products. Well, that's what Satan is doing. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells us the parable of the sower and the soils. And if you'll recall, in that parable, he said the sower goes out to sow the seed. And he said some seed falls on rocky ground. He says, the enemy comes and he snatches that up. He says, some are on the rocky ground. Some are, have no firm root in themselves. He says, others are concerned with all the cares and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. That's the distraction there. So here's what Satan does. He basically says, I'm going to divert people's attention away by saying, no, your job's the most important thing. Focus on that. Or maybe a romantic relationship is something that is going to keep you from focusing in on Christ. It could be money, it could be career, It could be romance. It could be self-love. It could be false religions or cults. It could be some sort of a social issue or empty philosophy or some sort of immoral pursuit, anything. He doesn't care. All he cares about is to keep you occupied enough to where you don't think about the gospel. And that's the principle of the sower and the soils. And so as we, as God's people, are sowing the seed of the gospel, then Satan comes behind us and he wants to snatch up that seed to keep it from having any sort of root. Now, I came across this statistic the other day I thought was very telling. It says, currently, the average person spends over 2 hours a day on social media and over 5 hours a day checking his or her phone up to 63 times or more daily. And so what Satan is doing now, what he's going to do in the last days, he's going to bring such an onslaught. It's going to be a huge campaign, a narrative in the last days to basically dominate the airwaves, dominate everybody's phone, everybody's television, everybody's internet with only his narrative. And by doing that, he can keep people from seeing the gospel. So that's what he's doing now. He begins by darkening minds, then he goes on to distract people's desires in the world today. Now, here's a third strategy that Satan has that we've touched on just a little bit before, but I want to dive in a little bit deeper here, is that Satan is a master deceiver. In fact, the scripture over in Revelation chapter 13, it's talking about the devil. And I want to read this verse here, Revelation 13, verse 4. It says, and they worshiped the dragon, and it says, and he gave his authority to the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war against them? And scripture tells us that he's going to basically present himself as being so convincing that nobody will be able to see anything else. Now, over in chapter 12, he says that the Satan, in verse 9, he says, the devil and Satan, he says, who deceives the whole world. Now, this is what Paul talked about when he talked about the whole idea of Satan's schemes in Ephesians chapter 6. He says to put on the full armor of God that you won't be deceived by the schemes of the devil. And that schemes, the word schemes means plots or strategies. Now think about it. Satan is not, he's not an unintelligent being. He's a highly intelligent, supernatural being. He studied humanity for some 6,000 years. He understands what humanity is like. He knows how to trip us up. And by the way, he knows how to trip me and you up as well. And so it's important for us to understand his strategies. But notice what he says also, what Paul says over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, and he's talking about this deception that Satan takes us away from the Lord here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse 1. He says, I would that you would bear with me a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed to you one husband that I might present you as a pure virgin, he says. Then he says, but I'm afraid, lest as the serpent, that's Satan, deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion that is in Jesus Christ. So Satan is a master deceiver, and he's able to do this in many different ways. We'll go into some of these ways here in just a minute. But this is the reason why scripture tells us that he will deceive the nations in the last days with his global deception, his campaign. The Bible says that in Revelation chapter 20, that after Satan is locked up for 1,000 years and that he's released at the end of the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ in Revelation 20 verse 10, it says that he deceives the nations again. And so this inherent characteristic, this inherent trait that Satan has is to always deceive people away from God. He wants to take them away from hearing the gospel. And 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says this. It says that Satan is able to disguise himself as an angel of light, an angel of light. So we have the prince of darkness disguising himself as an angel of light. And guess what? People don't know the difference. They can't distinguish between the prince of darkness and the angel of light. They think he's an angel of light because that's how he presents himself. He's a trickster. He is a deceiver. He's one who brings about that kind of deception. And it says that even his servants parade themselves around as agents of righteousness. And so you have Satan through Antichrist. He'll deceive people. He'll be like an angel of light. He'll be like a savior, a counterfeit Messiah. And then his servants will do so as well. And the only people that can know how to tell the difference are those with discerning hearts. You say, Jeff, who are those people? Those are the people like you and I who are immersing ourselves into God's word so that we can see in the darkness, so that we can distinguish between different colors, as it were, on the spectrum. We can know the difference between right and wrong. But even better than that, Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that we have a discerning ability that allows our senses over time to be trained, it says, to discern between good and evil. It's not just the blatant bad and the blatant good, you know, God and Satan, but it's all that gray area in between. And Satan lives in that gray area. And Antichrist will live in that gray area. So he's going to be bringing messages and deceiving others based on that. And there's not going to be a single town, a single state, a single nation on the planet that's not going to be under his deception. You say, Jeff, how does he do that? Well, John wrote in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world. So it's not just concentrated in one area. It's just, oh, you're a bad country, you're an okay country. No, the whole world, whole planet is covered in deception by Satan. You remember in the book 1984, George Orwell wrote about this whole concept of the government's language propaganda machine. He called it newspeak, that essentially curtails free thought and expression of the populace. And he used two words here that I think are really telling. I think we're seeing this in our day today. One of them is the word doublethink, and the other is the word doublespeak. Now, doublethink is the idea to hold contradictory beliefs at the same time and think they're both okay, like freedom is slavery, war is peace, ignorance is strength, that kind of thing. And the second word is the word doublespeak, which basically is the idea of distorting or disguising or redefining words. Now, what are some of the concepts and principles and words that Satan's using today that he's redefining that the whole world's buying into? I'll talk about that next when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So how is Satan deceiving people today? Well, he's doing it through redefining morality, redefining principles, redefining concepts, ideas, philosophies. And he's basically giving new definitions. In fact, if you go to your dictionary, your basic dictionary, they've changed the whole meanings of key words in the dictionary today. Here's some of the things that Satan is redefining. Truth. Truth is no longer objective and absolute, but subjective. I can have my truth, you can have your truth, and vice versa. How about justice? Justice is determined by societal perception, not by an unchanging standard of right and wrong. Equality. Equality just used to mean we treat everybody the same. But equality now means that everyone is guaranteed the same outcome, and we have to create inequality in order to have equality. How about hate? Hate is redefined as simply somebody who disagrees with you. So if you disagree with someone, they think that you're spouting hate speech when you're just simply saying, I don't hold your view. How about the word violence? Violence is now something that is verbal. We have these things called microaggressions in our society. Not actual violence, but they take it as a violent act toward themselves. The word tolerance now means that all beliefs and lifestyles are accepted and celebrated. Things that we used to say, no, that's morally wrong. We now accept these things. So we tolerate everything except, of course, the Judeo-Christian ethic, which we say, no, that's not good. We can't tolerate that. Human rights. We think human rights is something that's a good thing, and it is a good thing. But we don't extend it anymore to the unborn. We've redefined terms like gender, like love, God, and even the word reality itself. We have now in our culture, we're accepting things that are unreal, that are not true, that are not actual, but we're making them into reality and we're writing those things into our laws. Satan is a master deceiver. And he's going to do this, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, through miracles, through signs and wonders, through Antichrist and his false prophet in the last days. Here's a fourth way, a fourth strategy of Satan in the last days, is that he dilutes the truth. In other words, he comes into the Word of God, and he basically says, by creating doubt in the Word, he says the same thing that he told Eve back in the garden, indeed, did God say? And what Satan does is he creates doubt about the unchanging truth of the Bible. And let me be clear. We here at The King is Coming, we believe that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And we are anchored and rooted in the Word of God. And so that's why it's so important for us to always ground our thoughts in the Word of God. But Satan today is attacking everything from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He's saying that the Genesis account isn't real, that the male and female that God created is not real, that God himself didn't make the world. He tells us that there can't be any sort of literal Adam and Eve. And then God doesn't create life. Someone else creates life. Life just comes out of nothing. And then all the way to Revelation, where he'll say, no, Revelation, it already happened, or it's symbolic, or it's not true, or it's too bizarre, or it's too sci-fi. And Satan tries to get us to dilute the Word of God. He also tells us that the rapture isn't real and that your Jesus is not coming back. Well, listen, the name of our program is The King is Coming because we believe the King is coming. And we know he's coming because Jesus authenticated his second coming by rising from the dead. Therefore, everything that Christ said previously and everything the Gospels and the Epistles said afterwards are guaranteed pre-authenticated to come to pass. And those are some of Satan's last days lies. And so as we look at what's going to happen in the last days with Satan coming to the planet through this Antichrist person, we know that his message is going to be peace and safety. It's all going to be fine, but it's all wrapped up in a one grand global delusion. And that's going to lead to an Antichrist global governance. What's that like? That's what we're going to talk about next on The King is Coming.
In a time of uncertainty and spiritual slumber, Jeff Kinley awakens the modern church with his innovative guide to the book of Revelation. Discover not just signs of the times, but the spirit and character Christ desires for his bride. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, ask for your copy of the amazing book, Wake the Bride, Facing These Last Days with Your Eyes Wide Open. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service. And thus, all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.